An early morning visit to the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and some other women came to Jesus' tomb on the first day of the week to anoint his body with spices. And they were, the Bible says it, perplexed at what they found. The stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Then they were terrified. Two dudes in dazzling duds appeared. Then they were perplexed again when the dazzling dudded dude said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And then Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women remembered that Jesus told them that he would rise again on the third day. They were overjoyed and they needed to tell all the disciples. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women went back to where the disciples were and told them what had happened. And the disciples didn't believe them. So the disciples, what Mary, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women were saying was just an idle tale. How awful. Not even wondering if it could be true. Not even hoping that it could be true. Not a bit of possible affirmation at what the women saw. Except for Peter. He at least didn't simply brush the women off. He ran to the tomb to see for himself. And he was amazed at what he saw. And then he went home. It would have been nicer, though, if Peter had said something like, "Can you show me?" to Mary Magdalene, to Joanna, to Mary the mother of James, and to the other women. But at least he didn't dismiss what they said as an idle tale. And so here we are today. It's Easter. We're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. And we might have questions. The idea that Jesus' resurrection is an idle tale, a falsehood, a lie, is still present today. Some people say that Jesus' body was stolen, that he really didn't rise from the grave. Is that true? Some people say that the people who saw Jesus saw a ghost and not a real person. Could that be? Some people say that Jesus' resurrection was made up years later. Years after he died, so that people wouldn't forget about him, and so that Christianity could grow. And who would do that? You know, those are actually great questions about Easter. They're worth talking about, because God isn't against the questions. God loves conversations, and the conversations can be about things that we aren't supposed to talk about or have questions about. It's purely because we're all on a journey of faith. And no journey is alike. Some here today believe every word of the resurrection story. Some are skeptical about parts of it. Some don't believe any of it. And every one of us here has a place, a seat at the table, a seat in your pew. By the way, did you see the joke? It's a little meme that made its way around the internet this week from someone called the Church Curmudgeon. And we have the Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, or Christos Anesti, Anathos Anesti in Greek. But here's another Easter greeting. This is my pew. It is my pew indeed. There are all the people who, if you're visiting with us today and you sat in somebody's pew, we don't have any assigned pews, but sometimes people do that. They're like, I don't know where to sit now because this is my pew. It is my pew indeed. I have risen to go to another pew indeed. Oh, we all have a place. A seat at the table, a voice in the conversation, because no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. You and your belief are welcome here. You and your unbelief are welcome here. You and your past are welcome here. You and your present are welcome here. You and your future are welcome here. You and your baggage are welcome here. You and everything that you are welcome here. With a seat at the table, a voice in the conversation, a precious part of this entire community. All of us on a journey of faith. All of us respecting, loving, and celebrating the journey that each of us is on. So, as this community of faith, what shall we do? How shall we continue building this community with everyone at the table? All of us. Every voice important in the conversation. Imagining not only what's possible, but things that are impossible. For instance, what are we willing to give up? What have we held on to for so long that we really don't need to anymore? What are we willing to let go as this community of faith? And how will we welcome more and more people who think, who look, who live, who love differently than the way we did in 1950 or 1980 or 2000s or even 2010? How will we be a congregation that is welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health as we journey together to become a WISE, W-I-S-E, congregation? And how will we reimagine ways to continue to fund the ministries of St. Paul's now and for generations to come? What shall we do together? Together, we share the joy of discipleship and service to God with all who desire to join in the life of our church. God created each of us. As recipients of God's grace and love, unearned and freely given, we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We celebrate every person as a child of God created in God's image. We welcome people of every age, economic status, ethnic origin, gender identity and expression, marital status, mental and physical ability, political affiliation, and sexual orientation. And we can celebrate, question, defend, and have excellent conversations about, well, the resurrection. We can be followers of Jesus. We can be Christians. We can be and are people who seek the still speaking God, and we can be confused, skeptical, or even unbelieving about it all. When you came into church today, ushers handed you a cross. You got that now? Just put that cross in your hand. Thank you to Walt and Janine Warren for making these for us today. This cross is a symbol. Now, if you believe every word of the resurrection, this cross is a symbol of Jesus' death and resurrection, something to hold on to, something to know and to treasure. If you're skeptical about some of it, this cross still is a symbol of solidarity. The story of Jesus coming down and living life as a human, understanding all the good and the bad of humanity, even dying a horrible death. If you don't believe any of it, I'm not sure what the symbol represents. It might represent something negative, but put it in your hand like this. Put your two fingers on the top there and just hold it in your hand there, and you can squeeze. It is something to hold onto, something tangible in your hand. And I hope that it becomes a symbol for you of community and of love and of goodness. The community, the love, and the goodness that you feel here today. You can keep it in your pocket. You can keep it in your purse. I hope that this symbol is a reminder for you of love and warmth, mercy and compassion. love and warmth, mercy and compassion that you feel today and that you can share with all that you meet every day. I hope it's a symbol to remind all of us that we are together, we are community, we are the church. Some of us believe it all. Some of us are skeptical about some of it. Some of us think it's all an idle tale. Together. Happy Easter, my brothers and sisters. Amen.